The Gospel according to Luke, we are in the 21st chapter. Some people were talking about the temple, how it was decorated with beautiful stones and ornaments dedicated to God. Jesus said, "As for the things you are admiring, the time is coming when not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." They asked him, "Teacher, when will these things happen? What signs will show that these things are about to happen?" Jesus said, "Watch out that you aren't deceived. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the one,' and 'It's time.' Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. These things must happen first, but the end won't happen immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other. There will be great earthquakes and wide-scale food shortages and epidemics. There will also be terrifying sights and great signs in the sky. But before all of this occurs, they will take you into custody and harass you because of your faith. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will provide you an opportunity to testify. Make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. I'll give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to counter or contradict. You will be betrayed by your parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends. They will execute some of you. Everyone will hate you because of my name. Still, not a hair on your head will be lost. By holding fast, you will gain your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Jesus says, not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished. So Jesus is asking us to envision something that might be nearly impossible for us to see. He tells us, do not be afraid, but we are not safe. Now, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, like I'm some sort of movie trailer voice to some Michael Bay movie where now all the buildings are going to collapse and there's going to be great CGI explosions and all of that. Actually, we don't have to add a whole lot of drama because Jesus already has it. Our challenge is to think about this, to process this, to wonder and imagine what he means when he says that not even one stone will be left upon another. Because that is somehow supposed to bring us hope. Now, we're Jesus people, so where we often find our hope is in Jesus. In our gospel for today, we're hanging out with Jesus, and he's at the temple. The temple was this beautiful space. Granite, marble, gold, silver, everything you imagine, all the appointments, all the features, all the fixtures, it's got everything. This is truly the best episode of HGTV, and the disciples are walking through, and they are marveling, and they are amazed, and their minds are probably popping out of their heads because they're seeing and they're witnessing all this glory and grandeur, and it is all meant to point us back to God. You and I are Jesus people. We know that our faith is in Jesus, and as we're walking with Jesus, we remind ourselves that Jesus gives us our hope. Jesus gives us our life through the cross, and some of us may think about and some of us may even connect. We may even fairly assume that when Jesus is talking about the temple, how it's all coming down to the ground, that he might actually be talking about himself, that his life is going to come to an end at the hand of Roman authorities and government officials, people who have great power over him, who want him to be silent, to stop messing with the system, because that's what Jesus does. We don't get live-action Jesus. We have the book. And these stories are handed down to us, and we read these stories in Sunday school, and we read these stories together, and we read them in worship. And so these stories are processed in our minds, and we hear them over generations, over centuries. This great story about what Jesus can do, the story in the Gospel of Luke that begins even before Jesus is born, when Mary sings this magnificent song, Mary being the mom of Jesus. And she starts making promises before he's even born that he's going to bring mercy to everyone, not just the privileged, not just those who have power, not just those who can afford it. He's going to bring God's love to anyone who is in need of God's love. He's going to knock the kings and all the powerful people off their thrones. He's going to feed the hungry. He's going to cast away the wealthy. And then Jesus, once he's born and once he's up and doing the ministry that he's called to do, he makes a promise at the very beginning of his work that he's going to take everything that mom said, and now he's going to ramp it up a notch. He's going to bring good news to the impoverished. Everyone who is struggling with their Social Security, everyone who is struggling to pay their bills, everyone who is struggling to make that WIC card last just a little bit longer, everyone who's trying to get themselves out of their hole but can't quite find a foothold to make it up, Jesus is going to release prisoners. Jesus is going to bring vision to the blind. Jesus is going to free everyone who's enslaved and oppressed. He's going to do all this great work. And it's what he does. And you and I, when we read these stories and we hear everything that Jesus does, we cheer him on. We celebrate him when he brings healing to those who are sick. We celebrate him when he comes to those who are ailing and disabled and quarantined and they brings them back into community. We're filled with joy because Jesus can feed thousands. We celebrate when he confronts the power brokers and the authority makers and he breaks into spaces that were once closed off to God's people. Jesus offends and we cheer him on. He is defiant and we cheer him on. He shatters social norms and we cheer him on. He brings forth God's kingdom into this world and we cheer him on. He dies on a cross. And all right, so maybe we don't cheer that one quite so loudly, but still we sing songs of praise because the cross means we have new life. The cross is our liberation. The cross is what sets us free from death. And we have this story of Jesus, this story that you and I know really well. We may not know all the parts and all the pieces, and we may not be able to fit the whole puzzle together, but we know the story of Jesus, this amazing story that's been handed on to us from our parents and our grandparents, from the great saints from centuries ago. We know this story, and as we hear this story and we process the story and put it into our lives and into our hearts, we slowly find ways to make the story fit with our everyday lives. And we find that this story begins to fall into the way that we think about the world anyway. The story, Jesus' story, as it's passed on to us and we craft it around ourselves. The story allows us to become comfortable with Jesus. We find that Jesus is more up on the hill. Jesus is more up on a wall. Jesus is more up on a cross. Jesus is up on a shelf in a dusty old book. Jesus is up out of the way. Because we want to keep going our way. We find our ways with Jesus to make him safe. We want Jesus to be approachable. We want him to be palatable. We want him to be a part of history. We want him to be a figurehead, a hero. Maybe we want to call him a social justice warrior. We make Jesus, Mary's son, born into this world to transform this world. We make him a temple to marvel at. He's beautiful. He's ornate, he's worth preserving, and he's distant, cold, maybe even lifeless. This is the temptation. This is the temptation that Jesus is speaking against in our reading for today, and it's part of a long-standing temptation. It was first whispered into Jesus' ears from the devil who wandered with him out in the wilderness. The temptation for Jesus to be heralded like a king and to go down in history. It's the same temptation that we have when we gather for worship. It's the same temptation that haunts you and me when we stand in spaces like this because we want to praise Jesus and give our glory and our generosity. Jesus is our hope for this world. And yet we are also drawn to this idea of elevating and adorning Jesus to such heights that he can no longer reach us. We can assume that because he's died on the cross and he's brought new life, that he's done everything he is supposed to do and there's nothing more that we can do. We want to fix our gaze on his eternal life for which he suffered, and then we might miss the suffering that continues every day in every corner of creation. Voices that continue to cry out for new life and for hope. The disciples in our gospel, they are thrilled to be in the hallowed halls of the temple. To marvel at how it reflects the majesty and the beauty and the grandeur of God. We can practically hear their voices, how they want to stay in this space. They want to stay forever at the throne of God. They want to stay forever at the feet of Jesus because here is where we find our peace. Here is where we will be safe, distant from the world. And Jesus, who can hear the awe and the sense of peace in their voice, who can hear the voice of the devil still whispering in his ear, telling him that he can be a great and mighty king up on his throne and that he is worthy of celebration. Jesus responds to their praise by declaring that these walls will not protect us. Our faith in Jesus does not make us safe. Because as hard as we try to build up walls and to build up buildings and build up structures to keep the pain of the world away, even the pain that dwells in our own lives, we hope to come into this space and maybe it will stay away for just a moment. As much as we strive to keep Jesus close and maybe the brokenness of our lives away or the brokenness and the suffering of our neighbors away, as much as we adorn our faith with signs and symbols of all that Jesus has done, Jesus reminds us of all that's left undone. Jesus is turning to us. Even in worship on a Sunday morning, he's turning to us, and he's liberating us from our hero worship of him. He's cutting us loose from our fears and our hesitations. He's clearing our vision from what we hope to see in him so that we can see our neighbors. We can see our classmates, our co-workers. We can see God's people who are continuing to long for God's kingdom, our people who continue to suffer in their lives. Our faith in Christ doesn't keep us safe because all the stones are coming down. Because Christ, who is our life, has come to an end. Jesus dies on the cross and he revealed God's presence, and through this water he drowns our old lives and binds us forever to his living presence. Our faith in Christ does not keep us safe. These stones, they're coming down because the suffering that Jesus endures reflects the suffering of the hungry families in our community, the couch surfers, the displaced, the disabled who can't quite get back up when they're knocked back down. Jesus, our life, draws us back into communion. Our faith in Christ does not keep us safe. The stones are coming down, even in spaces and buildings that reflect the beauty and the grandeur of God, until God's words begin to be spoken by the powerless, the silenced, the weak, the worn, the oppressed, those who our world, those who our community, those who maybe even our nation has decided do not deserve to have a voice. And then we will find how the powerful begin to turn on Jesus and begin to craft new crosses. Our faith in Christ does not keep us safe. The stones are coming down, and they're making room for God's kingdom to be revealed through our hands, to be known through Christ's body and blood, to be seen by all, that Jesus is no longer hidden behind ornate walls and beautiful signs in the shadow of the cross on the day that this Lord has made for us. Jesus is reminding us that our lives are not ours. So he's drawing us away from our temptation to keep him a king, to keep ourselves safe, to keep us and him separate from this world, because we have brothers and sisters, we have neighbors and friends, we have classmates and co-workers who are not safe, who cannot believe that there is hope for them, who are trapped behind walls, who are crying out for peace. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our life. Even when everything about our life is crumbling away, Jesus is our strength so we can keep walking through the dust and the devastation of our lives and the dust and the devastation of our people. And we can reflect God's presence, God's power, which has been given over to us through these waters and through this meal. It's given over to our neighbors because of God's love for all of creation so that it can be revealed that even when the stones shudder, even when the earth quakes, even when everything in our lives feels like it is stumbling and falling and coming to an end, Jesus is here, bringing life here until all suffering comes to an end and all of creation knows God's peace. Amen.